Thank you, Jamie. Heavenly Father, lead us to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the healer of our souls. Amen.
Amen.
The text is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16. Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Well, it's plain for all of us to see what this passage is about. It's about sin. And the world does not like the idea of sin, and it tries to avoid the very word itself. And it covers it up with long explanations and soft-sounding words. The world says that some people behave badly because they've had a disadvantaged upbringing. Or they say he or she has a form of mental illness, which isn't their fault. Or they say a person has chosen an alternative lifestyle. All these explanations are simply a way of avoiding the idea of sin. So, what is sin? Quite simply, it is breaking God's law. It's very simple. God planted the idea of how he wants us to behave in our hearts when he created us. And we call that having a conscience. Everyone has a conscience, from the highest to the very lowest. Everyone has a conscience. Although, of course, some people bury the voice of their conscience deep in their hearts. And they smother it so that they can't hear it. But sin is not confined to just a few very bad people. That's something we need to be very clear about. It's in everyone. Adam and Eve sinned, which we call the fall, falling out of God's favour, falling out of paradise, if you like. And the Bible tells us that each human being since then has committed sin. We might say that it's in the genes of our soul. And in Psalm 14, verse 2, we find an interesting passage on this. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. They've all gone aside. They've all gone astray, what that means. And they've become filthy. They're stained with sin. Now, that's a psalm that David wrote. And about 1,000 years later, the Apostle Paul, he found exactly the same with human nature, and he quoted that psalm. There is none righteous, no, not one, he said. So, we are stained with sin. I am, and so is everybody. Now, that's on sin in general. Now, let's turn to the particulars in our text. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Well, the ones we're going to hear about, they're not the only sins. There are plenty of, which we'll see later, plenty of others which we're not going to deal with now. All unpleasant ones. But in this passage, these seven are particularly dealt with. And in verse 17, and in verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Now there's something which comes as a bit of a shock straight away. Oh, people say, God is a God of love. And here we have it written that these things doth God hate. well, God is the God of love. That's absolutely true. But it's also true that he hates sin. All sin, every sin. He cannot bear sin. He cannot have sin in his presence. He won't allow it. Jesus, who is God's Son, he was without any sin in his time on earth. And we see that the first sin mentioned in this passage is a proud look. Now, pride, I'm sure we know, is the root of a lot of sin, a lot of wickedness. Here, pride is being shown by the expression on a person's face. Well, if the expression on his face expresses pride, surely that shows that pride must be very deeply embedded in his heart. He's puffed up, we might say. He's puffed up by his looks with self-conceit. That's one thing. And of course, with contempt for other people. It's in his heart, the idea of this conceit and contempt. And Jesus had something very important to say about that. When he was explaining what he'd said to the crowd, he was explaining to his disciples. And we find that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ who knew men. That's him telling people about the deep-rootedness of sin. And then the second thing we find in the text is a lying tongue. It must be dreadful to have a really bad reputation as a liar. Let me tell you about one instance that I can remember very clearly. I was standing with a couple of men. I knew them ever so slightly. I was standing with a couple of men once at a particular event, and they looked across to a third man over there who was also talking quite earnestly to somebody. And one of the men with me said, look at him lying to so-and-so. And I said, but you can't hear what he's saying. How do you know he's lying? And the man's answer was short. And he said, his lips are moving, aren't they? That man had a reputation of being absolutely unreliable in anything he said. I've never been so shocked by anything, well, I have, but I was very, very shocked by that. His lips are moving, aren't they? Well, of course, most people hate liars, and they hate lying, and so does God. Jesus told the Pharisees and others who were accusing him of being a fraud that they were like the devil, who had no truth in him. Let's look at that in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44. And Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The father of it. We normally say, we refer to the devil as the father of lies and lying. I expect you've noticed that when people find that somebody is just doubting something they're saying, and perhaps showing it in their manner of speaking or the look on their faces, they're very quick to say, are you calling me a liar? Very quick to take offence at it. And they say it angrily. The world likes to cover up the stark fact of lies being a sin. And to help cover it up, they invent sort of cozy sounding names for lies. They call them fibs. They call them sort of porkies. Or it's shading the truth. That sort of expression goes on. When I was younger, I can well remember people used to say, oh, he's shooting a line. That meant that he was always saying things about himself to make him appear very experienced and make himself appear in a good light. He was always exaggerating the most ordinary things that had happened to him. And the third thing we see there in our text is hands that shed innocent blood. Well, in the passage I've just quoted, we read together just now, Jesus said that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Well, now we see and hear daily the cruelty and bloodthirstiness, and all those things reflect the devil, and they quickly lead to murder. And we find plenty of it around, some sickening cases. But of course we do need to remember, just sort of quickly in passing, that those men who serve in the armed forces and kill and use weapons, if they do it under discipline, they're acting lawfully under discipline, that is not murder. Shedding innocent blood. As a matter of fact, the police are looking for or interviewing a young woman in Stafford who knocked down my immediate next door neighbour, who's in the other half of our house, and she died later in the morning. She's a very elderly lady. She may have been careless on that particular crossing. I don't know. I wasn't there. And the car maybe couldn't have avoided it. It was in broad daylight. But that's the sort of thing that can also happen. Our selfishness to be in a hurry or something like that can shed innocent blood. And in verse 18, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to wickedness, in running to mischief. Some people, as we know, are very clever at working out crafty schemes, such as how to bring about another person's downfall, make him look a fool perhaps, or how to steal. And there again, there was a very interesting case reported in the local paper in Stafford this week about two men who'd been charged with defrauding their employer of something like £40,000+. £40,000, these two men. And they devised a scheme to swindle him. How had they come to be so cunning? One of them had recently been promoted to a new position in the company. And that position was to investigate and prevent fraud in the company. So in looking to prevent it, it had sown its thought in his mind of how to do it. So we're back to what Jesus said earlier in Mark chapter 7 verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Of course, when the Bible speaks of men like that, it doesn't mean just males, it covers women and children as well. The prophet Jeremiah said of the heart is above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked, it can't cure itself. It needs another healer. And one of the reasons why people, I think, simply avoid reading the Bible or listening to it is because the Bible tells us about ourselves in very plain language. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Well, a person may be lazy about many things, but still he can find himself full of energy when it comes to doing evil. And that word mischief, of course, doesn't mean the sort of mischief that small children get up to when they're toddlers. It means, in plain language, evil. The word has changed its meaning over the centuries. It means just plain, downright wickedness. So a man might be lazy at his work, but lose no time in finding out evil to do. And of course we remember the old saying, the devil finds work for idle hands. And that is very true. A false witness that speaketh lies. Well, now here, this is the second time that truth has been telling lies, or truth has been mentioned in this very short passage. And when the Bible repeats something, it is because it wants to emphasize the importance of it. A false witness. There's not just standing in a court of law and giving evidence. It includes any nasty gossip, any false accusation against a person. And of course, false accusations are very hard to defend oneself against. People are quick to say, if they hear something bad about somebody else, they're very quick to say, oh, there's no smoke without a fire. There's no smoke. They love that expression. They're willing to believe the worst. And that's why, as we heard in our Holy Communion service last week, we heard as the commandments were read out, commandment number 9 out of the 10, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. No smoke without a fire. But who lit the fire that made the smoke and rumours and lies? He that soweth discord is the last one. He that soweth discord. We've all heard the expression sometimes used of a person, oh, so-and-so, he's a stirrer. It can happen in offices, it can happen at work, it can happen anywhere. Oh, so-and-so is a stirrer. He's the sort of man who's always out to pass on something bad or to make trouble. Things that are past and finished and over and done with, he likes to rake up. It's a bit like somebody who, at a pond, probably got nice clear water, and you put a stick in and stir up the mud on the bottom, and it's soon all clouded, all unpleasant. God, of course, wants people to be at peace with all others, to live in concord. We prayed that just now, didn't we? In concord, and not the discord of backbiting and squabbling. Well, listing seven sins like that and saying that we're all subject to them might seem a rather gloomy prospect. What does the outside world think of the sins that the Lord hates? The Lord hates them. Well, except for the shedding of innocent blood, I suspect that much of the world thinks, well, those sins are nasty perhaps, but you know, really, they're not all that serious. That's what they probably think. They say these things are just human nature. Nearly everybody does them. It's what you can expect. So, what's the problem? Well, I think the problem is simply this. Yes, everybody does commit these sins, and others. Remember the words we heard earlier, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. But because the majority do certain things, doesn't mean it's all right for everybody else to do them. In the case the majority are doing something wrong, the majority are wrong. God doesn't rule by majority opinion. And that means if the majority are wrong, the majority don't know the peace in their deepest hearts, the inward peace of having their sins forgiven when they repent. But it might seem a gloomy picture, but there is hope. There's hope for everyone, because Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Our offertory hymn, number 350.
Thank you.